Persuading people to take the actions we want can be hard. Our teams and clients are bombarded with thousands of messages every single day. But there is a way for you to get above the noise. Stories. This is the Stories with Traction podcast, and I'm your host, Matt Zahn. Join my guests and me as we unpack the power of storytelling. We'll talk about topics like leadership, sales, and marketing all through the lens of strategic storytelling. Enjoy this episode. Today, we're going to talk about clarifying your why and telling a compelling brand story. Today, I am joined by Orly Zewi. She is the founder of Zewi Brands, and she helps make the fuzzy clear and shows people how to cut through the noise. Welcome to the Stories with Traction podcast, Orly.
Thank you so much for having me, Matt. It's a pleasure.
I appreciate your time, and I appreciate the topics that you speak on. So I want to dive right in to the clarifying your why point. So there's a lot of people listening that they think they know their why. So if you were to ask them, why do you do X, Y, and Z, they would have a response. But what would you tell someone from a parameter perspective on whys when it goes deeper into the why? So when someone responds, hey, here's my why, is there something beneath the surface that they might want to point to make sure that the why that they are pursuing is truly their why?
So first of all, let me back up here for a second. In terms of when I talk about the why, I'm not talking really about your why. People don't really care about why you do what you do, right? That's your personal why. That's great. What I look for is, why do people work with you? What are they getting from the work that you do? How do you transform someone's business or in terms of messaging, how do people connect with you so they understand quickly, this is something that's of interest to me, or I may know somebody who can actually use this. So it doesn't always have to be, sales oriented. I think people have a tendency to think that every conversation is a sale. And I talk a lot about elevator pitches, because an elevator pitch often, and very quickly, I might add, dissolves into a sales pitch. Like, here's what we do. Here's how we do it. We're so great. Here are some of the clients we've worked with. That's not of interest. And I think the other piece is, give me something that in 15 seconds, I understand what you do. In terms of, again, how it serves me. So when I talk about I make fuzzy clear, that's a great entry point, because typically I'll get one or two responses, either just kind of goes right over, people don't really respond to it, or they'll say, wow, I've been trying to do that for years. How do you do that? Right. So what you want is you want to make people curious. And I think what we forget is that we're still talking to another person. And as humans, we are curious. And so when you try to tell me everything in 15 seconds, and believe me, I've seen people try to do that, it shuts people down. And that's really not what you want to do.
So how would you recommend people focus their why on others? Because a lot of people focus on, the power of why when it comes to themselves, diving deeper, asking those layers. So from someone transitioning from trying to figure out more and more their why, how would they position the why towards someone else?
So the first place, my whole process really breaks down into two parts. The first part is, who am I? And by that, I mean, who am I as a brand? What is it that, what's my core value? What's the thing that really, like, my zone of genius, for the lack of a better term? The second half, which is the piece that really connects to the why, is who needs it. And that's the ideal client. And by that, and to better understand that, you need to also start with, what's keeping that person up at night? What's a problem that I can help solve? How do I show them that I get what's going on in their world? So as an example, I may start by saying, we're being a message at the rate on average of 12,000 messages a day. That translates to more than 4 million a year. You've got 6 seconds to make a go, no-go decision on your homepage. What do you do? So when I think a homepage is a great place to sort of to demonstrate this, because I land on somebody's homepage and they're already trying to sell me something. Sign up for this, do that. What I want to know is you get my problem, and that builds the trust like factor. You get my problem. If you get my problem, I assume you know how to do it. So you don't have to tell me how you do it. You need to help me understand that this is something that you get. You have a solution for it, and then leave the clicking, you know, the engagement to your visitor. Let them, you know, make it easy for them to get answers. But the first piece, and this is why, you know, where I begin with the whole identifying your why, is start with either a question, a data point, something that kind of connects with your ideal audience. And by the way, if somebody doesn't get that, that's okay too, because you're not trying to talk to everyone. This is, I think, the other mistake people make. And this is why they fall back on their personal why, because that they understand. And I often find that people are concerned that they're going to leave somebody out. And I have actually found the opposite to be true, that the more targeted you are, the more likely you are to attract more of those people who need what you offer.
What are your thoughts on connecting our personal whys with someone else's why and really ensuring that it's a good match? What are your thoughts on that?
So I work with a lot of social entrepreneurs, and the core value is very important to them. And so they look for clients who are aligned with their value. And a great example of that is Patagonia. You know, they are like such a great example of having really clarified who they are. You know, they're a climate activist, they're a sustainability champion, you know, and the thing that's so interesting, I mean, it's a product company. I mean, they sell products, and yet the way they engage with their people, their visitors online, is not by showing a bunch of shirts and shoes and what have you with prices. They show people, their ideal customers, engaging in extreme sports, wearing their products. And that goes to the kind of show me, don't tell me perspective, which is if you want people to understand what you do, put it in perspective.
You know, it's interesting to me, and I do want to start from the beginning regarding the why personally, because there's a lot of people that I end up working with that they don't even know their true why. Yeah. So the challenge is, how in the world can they unpack the why of others? So when someone, you know, you mentioned that example of activism, right? And tapping deeper and kind of promoting that, showing that. So where would someone, before someone really breaks down the why of a client, how can they internalize as, whether it's a leadership team or maybe their sales reps or their marketing department, how would you coach them to really dive deeper into the why that they have from a corporate value perspective?
It's a great question, Matt. I think that what tends to happen is people tend to get overwhelmed because they think, oh, this is too big, this is too much, you know. And really, I think, you know, it actually starts with, I mean, you mentioned corporations, right? So corporations tend to have a wall filled with core values, you know, which I always find so interesting. Because the truth of the matter is, there's only one core value. It's the one thing you would do, even if it was illegal to do it. The other things are just how you do business. I mean, customer service, I always find that really funny that that's the core. Shouldn't that be everyone's core value? I mean, if you are not good at customer service, you're not going to have a lot of customers. And yet, it's somebody like Nordstrom's who takes that to the core value level, where they've empowered every single employee with a certain amount of money that they can give back to customers, no questions asked.
Yeah, I really like you mentioned that, just how people do business. You know, one of the things I'm really big on that I share with my audiences is do not focus on company core values. It's a complete and utter waste of your time, at least the words of the value. Focus on company core stories that exemplify the values you say you have, right? Because often leaders will say, put the customer first. What does that mean? because that leader, that picture they have of putting the customer first might not be the same picture that their team member has. So they need to paint the picture through storytelling. And it's amazing. A lot of these values are the same, right? That we want to be known of someone that has integrity and character and service. And a lot of them are very much the same. So how do we really break through that noise? Something you do very well is we need to focus on the stories that really connect to that value. So I appreciate you mentioning that. So let's say someone does dive deep. They really truly understand to the core of why they're doing what they're doing. What are some exercises or some prompts that they can really make sure that they're dialed into their ideal client? Because I know there are people listening, thinking to themselves, I know who my client is. Why do I really need to process that more? But it's amazing that they might not truly know who their client is, and they might be focusing on the wrong prospects, which is going to lead to a lot of time being wasted. So how would you have someone process their ideal client before they can get to that why?
So again, really good question. And so I have kind of a mini empathy map exercise that I do. You don't need to do an avatar. You don't need to people get crazy with yes, you could spend months figuring out the site person, what they eat and what they read and all. But really what you want to know is what is the thing that is keeping them up at night? But more importantly, what do they gain from working with you? So you have to think in terms of a gain and a loss. So when I work with X company, we're saving time because your systems help me, you know, if we're talking about software or some kind of IT aspect of my business, you can come in and very quickly help me deal with whatever's going on. And actually, you know, it's interesting. I'm going to give you an example because I actually had a client in the IT space, and they were very specific that they, you know, for that, again, very much about storytelling, right? And what we identified after doing a series of exercises was that what they do is they help leaders succeed and manage through change, because change is inevitable. You know, it's constant, especially in the world of IT, you know. So it's not about the product. It's about helping you manage the change. So something like that, right, where that really helps you, you know, helps you stand out, because we're not just selling, and it's a consulting firm, right? So we're not selling consulting. We're selling a way for you to manage through change in a successful way.
I love that. And I don't want people to miss this, because this is something in the last few months that I really struggled with. And here's I've been doing this for quite some time, quite a bit of time when it comes to the story piece. But where I was messing up was I was focused on a pain point people would have months down the road, not an immediate pain point. And I recognized that my first offering needed to really focus on solving that immediate pain point, that is when things skyrocketed. Once I put that in place, and then there's other services regarding the future pain points. But I really appreciate you mentioning, did you call it an empathy map?
Yes.
I love that. I love that verbiage, the empathy map.
Yeah, but the thing about the empathy map is it's very intentional. Because in order for you to understand someone's pain, you have to be able to walk into their environment. So you take a look at what does their day look like? What do they see? What do they hear? What do they read? You know, which platforms are they on? And that's the other piece. You know, I mean, we could talk about social media. That could be its own conversation. But the idea is, you know, you're not on every single platform, hopefully not, because you will lose your mind. But you are really wanting to understand what is happening in their world. And again, you can just do a microcosm. You don't have to spend, you know, 6 months figuring this out. But, you know, and a lot of times I will also say to somebody, you know, if you don't have an ideal client in mind, create an amalgam of your ideal client. You know, why are they an ideal client, right? Because ultimately, like I said, everyone is not your ideal client.
No, that's a really good point. So once someone goes through this exercise and they figure that out, so now they have their ideal client, they really clarified the why. Where does the story brand come in? What recommendations would you make on certain stories to be sharing and other stories that should not be shared? Where would you point them to go regarding that?
So, you know, so the stories in my mind, you know, I always say that you can break things down into process or outcome, right? So you can spend all your time in storytelling around the process, or you can talk about what the outcome is. And I'll give you another example from a past client who was an orthodontist. And just in terms of their messaging, I mean, you know, and I know we're not talking about logos, but that's certainly part of the story. You know, they were all about, they literally, their logo was a mouth with braces. Exactly. So, and the colors, by the way, were pink and gray. I don't know who told them this was a good idea, but, and we went from that to creating the tagline, the smile specialist, because ultimately your goal is to have a perfect smile, period. And so we had a whole wall of smiles, and it was, again, it's focusing on the outcome. Nobody wants to see the process of you getting a smile that's perfect, right? Nobody wants, we know it's going to hurt, but why are we focusing on the pain? We want to focus on, you know, this happy outcome. And so they ended up, I hired a photographer. We had a whole wall of smiles from their patients. In fact, I don't think you can see it, but behind me is actually one of those smiles. But, you know, I think that's such a good example, because when we're really close, and this is the other piece, we're so close to our own story, we're focused on the process because that is what we do day in and day out. But when you're talking to a potential prospect, client, what have you, customer, right? They want to know what's going to happen. So what's on the other side of this? They assume you know your process. You don't have to, right? I find a lot of times, especially when I work with founders, you know, they're so excited about their unique process or, you know, kind of what they're bringing, their intellectual property, that they forget that that is not the first point of entry, right? You have to understand that stories, you know, there's a beginning, middle, and end, right? And so the beginning is, I want you to read the book, which is why every book doesn't start in the middle of chapter 5, right? There's a cover page, there's table of contents, there's a copyright page, there's, right? And there's a reason for that. And so from a storytelling perspective, you need to figure out, again, understanding that pain point, understanding where that person starts from, helps you know where to begin your story.
Yeah, I love the example. And I could speak to that recently, right? Regarding teeth, my son had to get some dental work done. And guess what? My wife and I hated the process. We hated having to fight with him to go to the dentist. We hated trying to explain to him at nauseam the importance and all the different things that went into it. And if that dentist was really sharing the process, no one's going to want to buy that, because no one thoroughly enjoys going getting dental work done. But guess what the outcome? She focused on healthy smiles. And I want my son and I want all my kids to have a healthy smile. I don't want them to have cavities, right? I want healthy dental care. That's a great outcome. So I appreciate that example. Now, I know it sounds simplistic, but there are people listening that if they really truly processed it, they are focusing on different processes versus outcomes. So what do you recommend people do to kind of stop them in their tracks regarding stories they might be sharing? They might have a lot of a passion regarding certain process stories. Where would you recommend them focus on shifting from that process to that outcome?
So one of the exercises that I do is I ask people to list 5 words that come to mind when they think about their practice. And one of the ways to get those answers is you go back to your clients and find out, what do they say? You know, do some kind of a, you know, exit poll, you know, or even do an online survey, like 3 questions, at least, you know, 3 words that, you know, 3 things that happen as a result of working with us, or, you know, just to kind of get a little bit, if you don't have it, right? That also moves you away from what's important to you to what's important to your clients.
I really like that. I really like that. So they have the five questions, or not five questions, five words. So the five words, once they have those five words, are they building stories based on those five words? Is that, or is that just the starting
point? In my process, what I do is after we have the five words, I do this all virtually, and we get on Zoom, and we literally build kind of almost a brain dump for each word. And we get it down to three, and eventually we'll get it down to one. And the one word, the one thing, that is your core value.
That's the core value to build the story brands around?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the thing that you want to work from. So, it took me, just to let you know, it took me a long time to get to I Make Fuzzy Clear, right? It was because I kept hearing that from my clients that this is what I really help them do. Like, I honestly, it's why I call myself a facilitator of light bulb moments, right? Because ultimately what people want is clarity. And you can talk about all the ways, I can talk about all the ways you get there. Back to the process. But I think what people tend to do is they're so close to it. And I think this is part of why it's so hard to do this yourself. You're so close to it. That's why you need perspective. So I think reaching out to your happy clients, right? Even doing some kind of an exit poll at the end of each project, getting them to write up a recommendation on LinkedIn. This is part of what's helped me understand, like, I keep hearing the same thing over and over again. This must be important. So it also gets me out of, because, I, like everyone else, was doing exactly the same thing, focusing on the process. This is what I'm going to do. And this is what's going to, we just want something that's going to, like, because ultimately what you want is when people are thinking of a certain thing that's associated with your brand, you want them to be thinking of you as the solution.
Really good point. It's amazing. I'm thinking about all this in my head. You mentioned the five words, and the five words that came out immediately: persuasion, leadership, sales, marketing, and influence. Now, what's interesting is in the last few years, the number one thing that is a reoccurring theme, if I was to boil it down to one word, is influence. That word comes up all the time with my clients. They want to have an influence when it comes to their leadership team, their employees, their board, depending on if they have boards. They want influence. So are you suggesting that I would take that word and I'd build out a lot of different stories and messages around that word?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, this is why it's so important to get feedback from your clients, when you get testimonials. It's not just, hey, you did a great job. It's like, this is how you helped me become an influencer. And in fact, once you have that word, when you ask for the recommendation, you can say, how did I help you become an influencer?
That's great. It's amazing how many people don't do that.
They really don't. Or they don't do it soon enough. Like, I always tell people that, you've got a window of about a week. When people are happy, hopefully they're happy. You've just finished a project. That's the time to ask for it. And people are very happy to give you feedback when they're happy with what you did. But again, also understanding your space, your lane, your zone of genius helps you to, you're not crafting the stories, but you're helping guide people. Because otherwise, it's hard for people to just write a bunch of stuff. It helps them when you say, look, I'm looking for feedback on these three things, for me, it's, clarity, messaging, cutting through the noise, all those kinds of things. And it's amazing when you get back exactly that. And all of a sudden you can look back and you say, you have a dozen different recommendations based on the thing that you do.
Incredible points. Thank you so much. I very much appreciate your time today. I appreciate this conversation. There's three takeaways that I'm going to take away from our discussion today. I appreciate you mentioning the who am I, who needs it. That's the ideal client. It's really important that we really have that as a starting point. The second point was when you said empathy map. What is the thing that's keeping them up at night, and how do you solve that pain point? That's something that people, I think, need to continue to go back to. Even if they think they have the pain point down, they need to continue to go back to it, because sometimes day-to-day changes when it comes to our clients. And the third piece is that process or outcome story. I think a lot of times people focus on the process and not the outcome. So those are my three takeaways. I know others listening might have gotten other takeaways. Now, if someone wants to get more information on what you do, they want to reach out to you, where's the best place they can go to get that information?
So I'm only on the one platform, which is LinkedIn, and there's only one Orly Ziwi as far as I know. So just LinkedIn, Orly Ziwi, one word, and Ziwi Brands, which is my website. And then you can go on Amazon and find my book, Ready Launch Brand, The Lean Marketing Guide for Startups.
Perfect. I will include all that in the show notes. People could just click and go. But Orly, thank you so much for your time today. I very much appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Matt. It was a pleasure.
Thank you for listening to the Stories with Traction podcast. Please leave a review, since positive reviews will make it easier for others to find this conversation. Next episode will launch on Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern. Until then, remember, if you want to persuade with power and inspire those around you to action, you must share more stories.